Oh, the name of God. Worship you today. We worship you, Lord God Almighty. We worship you, Lord Jesus. Lord, we thank you for your presence here today, Lord. We exalt you. We magnify you. We thank you. You are the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, the God of all gods. You're the creator of heaven and earth. You are the one who's coming back again. Lord, we exalt you and we just worship you today. We thank you, Lord, for all that you're doing. Lord, we ask you to speak to our hearts and change our lives. We ask you to help us to be prepared for the things that are coming, the things that are coming upon the earth. And Lord, even prepare us, Lord, for difficulties, for trials, for tribulation, for persecution. Lord, we must be prepared spiritually, mentally, emotionally, even physically. We must be prepared to stand for Jesus no matter what happens. No matter what we go through, no matter what happens around us, Lord, we choose to stand for you and to stand with you. We will not deny you. We will not fall away. We refuse to do those things. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Hallelujah. You may be seated this morning. We might need to scooch in here. We might need to make room if there is room. I guess it's a good problem to have. Might be time to start looking for a new building here for long. Whoa! Everybody all right? You all right? Hey, there was one Sunday morning that a child flipped backwards in a chair and I was preaching. I didn't even know it. I don't know how that happened, but I must have been focused, right? Everybody, I hope you have your Bibles with you this morning. We're going to revisit something. I just keep feeling the Holy Spirit leading me to revisit something that I've covered a few times, but I'm just going to re-emphasize some things. But we did, go ahead and put that up. I did a message a number of months ago called Revisiting the Four Horsemen. And I don't know, the Lord just keeps impressing me to get back into this because, of course, we have a lot of new people watching and listening. So I think it's important to clarify some things. Plus, I'm going to share with you what the Holy Spirit keeps impressing upon me about being prepared for what's coming. But I want to look at the four horsemen again just briefly. I want to run through some of these things. So let's go to the next slide here, because these are in the book of Revelation, Revelation chapter 6. These are the seals that Jesus opens to reveal the end times and to lead us down through these things. And, you know, the book of Daniel said these things would be concealed or hidden until the time of the end. Well, we're at the time of the end. I have no doubt about that. You know, over 30 years ago, probably, when was it? October. Actually, it was October of 1987. Think about that for a minute. October of 1987, I had an open vision of Jesus in heaven. I saw the glory of the Father there. I saw the wings of the dove, the Holy Spirit. I saw Jesus standing there, and he spoke to me very clearly. One of the things he said was, "Waste no time, for there's little time left to spare." Now, think about that. He's telling a 19-year-old in 1987 to waste no time because there's little time left to spare. And here we are 34 years later, and all the things that I've studied even as a teenager and in my 20s, I'm watching begin to happen. Now, I'm going to just be honest with you, most of these things in Revelation now are no longer a mystery. They're no longer hidden. They're no longer concealed. We know what they are. And I'm going to show some of you. Some of you may have never heard these things or seen these things. Some watching, but it's very important that you understand this, because the coronavirus right here in the book of Revelation. I'll show you, all right? But let's go through this. Let's just read this. This is Revelation 6, 1 through 4. We'll start there. We got quite a ride to go through today. But he said, I saw when the Lamb, that is Jesus, opened one of the seals, and I heard as it were the noise of thunder and one of the four beasts saying, come and see. And I saw and behold a white horse, and he that sat on him had a bow, and a crown was given unto him, and he went forth conquering and to conquer. And when he had opened the second seal, I heard the second beast say, come and see. And there went out another horse that was red, and power was given unto him that sat thereon to take peace from the earth, and that they should kill one another. And there was given unto him a great sword. Go ahead to the next one. And I just quoted this, but I wanted you to see it. There it is. And we're just going to cover this white horse. First of all, I want to say, and we can go on, just, or do I have the clicker here? Maybe I need the clicker, no? Can I do that? That'd be easier. We'll see if it works. Oh, it works. All right. I'm always amazed when things work. Anyway, we know what these are. The four horsemen, we're going to go through it this morning, but the white horse, the red horse, the black horse, and, of course, what we've known now is not the pale horse, it's the green horse, because that word in Greek, pale, is chloros, which means green. But here, we know what they are. He says here in Zechariah 6, he tells us that these horsemen, there's another vision where we have red and white horses and grizzled horses, these different horses. And in Zechariah, he's asked, well, what are these things? And he says, these are four spirits of the heavens which go forth from standing before the Lord of all the earth. So in case you just don't know, you know, the four horsemen are not just symbolic, but they are literal spirits of the heavens that have an ideology that go forth to influence mankind to do certain things they ought not do. These are evil spirits. So the four horsemen are evil spirits. Now, let's keep going here. Here's the white horse. It says he had a crown and a bow, and he went forth to conquer. All right? Now, part of that is the conquering is there. Everybody ought to know by now that there is an agenda, and there's been an agenda for many, many centuries, but really kicking in the last few decades, there's been this agenda to take over the whole earth, to create a world government, and to conquer. There's this, the powers that be. You know, we call them the New World Order, the Illuminati, the elite, the globalists, whatever you want to call them. Bottom line, most of them, all of them are Luciferians. They worship the devil. This is told us that they would worship the dragon. Who is the dragon? The dragon's the devil, Satan, right? Well, Catholicism's been part of this. The Vatican's always been part of this agenda. The Vatican has never been right with God, ever. It's never been a true church. It's always been a false church. That doesn't mean all the Catholic people are bad, so no one quote me and say, he hates Catholics. No, I don't. I hate the system. I hate their leadership because they are false prophets, false teachers, and they mislead people. And I know that there's people of God, born-again people of God in the Catholic Church, because Jesus said, come out of her, my people. So, but the Vatican is part of this, the Jesuits, the Pope. Of course, it's interesting that all the colors they're about is white is their dominating color, right? The same thing here, the Council on Foreign Relations. Both Republicans and Democrats are in the Council on Foreign Relations. Most presidents who are corrupted or part of this New World Order agenda get all of their staff and cabinet members out of the Council of Foreign Relations, whether they're Republican or Democrat. This is what they do. But isn't it interesting that the whole agenda in the Council of Foreign Relations is a one-world government to conquer the world and make the UN a world government, and their symbol's a rider on a white horse. No coincidence there. Of course, you see the white horse. This is a mural inside of the United Nations. They let you know what they're all about there, white horse, again. UN vehicles and tanks and armored. Isn't it interesting? It looks like an army, doesn't it? Doesn't look like a peacekeeping organization. It's because they're not. They're going to go forth to conquer the whole world here pretty soon, including the United States. They're going to try. How many of you know this and remember this? Of course, our Spanish-speaking people here know that in their Bible, the word corona is the word crown there. It's even in this passage. This is no coincidence, folks. It says a crown was given to them. Jordan Sal one day looked up the word bow. You know what bow means? He's given a bow and a crown, a piece of cloth, and actually means a piece of toxic cloth. Think about that for a minute. No, the Bible's very specific. It's just a lot of times we don't understand things until they actually come to pass. The coronavirus issue has definitely been a reason for them to go forth and to conquer. Coronavirus is empowering dictators and changing the world order. Of course, there's toxon bow, meaning the simplest fabric right there, right? Just a piece of fabric. And I'm going to go through some of this. Yeah, toxon is interesting. It sounds like that. But let's keep going. Of course, we know what that is there. Can China use the coronavirus to pave the way to a new world order? I mean, that's the hill. Britain should brace itself for a new world order after coronavirus. Former British Prime Minister Tony Blair says new world order is here and sovereign nations must recognize China's dominance. Gordon Brown calls for a global government to tackle coronavirus. I mean, I could do this all day. Well, let me just say that we are seeing that with the coronavirus. They're not going to stop with this, folks. There'll be another wave. There'll be another, shutdown. And right now, folks, if you don't believe me, look at Australia is now a police state. Canada is almost there. People can't even leave Canada now. I mean, think about that. They're turning Australia into where people, they're monitoring people. They can't even leave their homes. Who would have ever dreamed of a free nation like Australia at this point, where if you go out and protest, you just get beaten and arrested? And you think it's not coming here. The blue states are already starting down this road, all right? But the next thing on there, the next horse was the red horse. And he says, and there went out another horse that was red, and power was given unto him that sat thereon to take peace from the earth, and that they should kill one another. And there was given unto him a great sword. As I've shared before, the red horse, of course, is communism and socialism, fascism. The Nazis loved red. The communists loved red. And of course, the Russian army used to be called what? The Red Army. So we know that red is the color of communism, and we know that communism has had a history of what? Killing millions and millions and millions and millions of people. But these horses, these spirits, they started a long time ago. But what they're doing now is they're coming to full fruition. Okay? So we're going to see another wave of this. This is why, look, communism is becoming popular again. In America, over 30% of our millennials think socialism/communism is a good thing. They've been indoctrinated by their public school systems, by their universities, by the media, by our socialist, communist Democrats that we have in this country that are really just communists. But this is the color. But let me just say this. The Lord keeps laying this on my heart to remind you and to say this over and over again. The Lord has shown me, remember a while back, I said, the Lord told me that China would invade the United States. China will attack the United States. Russia may join them. All right? And I felt like they would attack in different areas and that they would invade our country. Believe me about this when I tell you that the Sixth Trumpet War is coming. And it's going to happen. And this communist, it says a great sword was given unto them. Well, what does Russia, North Korea, and China have in common? They all have nuclear weapons. They have the great sword. And we know the Bible talks about a war coming that's going to kill one-third of mankind. Think about that for a second. So we know that these things are coming, and they're coming fast. Of course, Karl Marx was very clear about indoctrinating our children there. That's why state schools was a communist idea from the beginning. Shouldn't even exist in America. We're going to try to stop that here in Alabama. But there it is, more than a third of millennials polled approve of communism. Market Watch, counterterror expert, feds unaware, Antifa, Black Lives Matter, communist connections. I mean, it's all there. Black liberation, you see in these, if you go to these protests or these meetings where these Antifa people are, this is what you'll find. You'll find communism all riddled throughout this whole thing. Now, I'm going to skip through this because I'm going to get to, I'm not trying to redo this message here because I'm trying to get somewhere. Because this was a while back when all that was going on. The Black Horse. I want to talk to you about that. The Black Horse, it says, of course, if you read it there in Revelation, it talks about a pair of balances in his hand. Talks about the barley and the wheat. And really, it talks about food shortages. Now, I've been talking to Mr. Kevin here, who pretty much knows what's going on in the farming industry. And we were talking the other day about how, what was it, your brother went to buy fertilizer? And fertilizer is what, over double this year than it was last year. And what Kevin has talked to me about and told me is that basically, if we hit a shortage of fertilizer, we're going to have a food shortage like you will not believe. Now, let me tell you something about Faith. Is Faith Marie, my youngest, is about, she's 11, but this was about when she was 5 or 6, maybe. She had a dream about the Black Horse. She's a little thing. And this is what she told me. She said, "Daddy, I had a dream about the Black Horse, a Black Horse." And I said, "Really?" And I knew immediately. I was like, "Okay, go ahead." She said, "And it was going around stealing people's food while they were on tablets and phones." Meaning people were distracted and were not prepared for this. I want to say this to you, and I want to say it very clearly. The Bible talks about famine. What is famine? Food shortage. And many of you know, like in 2017, 2018, I have the message still. I said then, and I know it was the Holy Spirit speaking, I said the Lord gave me two dates, and this was, again, 2017, 2018, that there would be a huge shift, a huge change come to the world. And the 2 years he gave me was 2020 and 2022. And even in that message, I said, I feel like there's going to be a biological attack. So we saw what happened in 2020. That was clearly a biological attack. We're still under it to some degree because it's still going through. It's man-made, we know. We know Fauci got busted, gain of function, SARS coronavirus, also MERS coronavirus. So we know there's two different types, which is interesting because the white horse, when it says a crown was given, it went forth conquering and to conquer. There's no need to repeat that. It's the same Greek word, conquering and to conquer. Same Greek word, but it's repeated twice, and I think it's because we're dealing with two different animals. We're dealing with a SARS version of the coronavirus and a MERS version, Middle Eastern Respiratory Syndrome. That's the one that almost killed me. But, folks, I felt very strongly to tell you this morning, you better pray and you better prepare for this. I think by next year we could see food prices double or triple. Kevin says triple. And we could also see many more bare shelves, meaning it's just not there. So this is something for you to think about because I do believe in preparation. Noah was told to build an ark to prepare for what was coming. Joseph was sent to prepare for what's coming. So people get on and said, prepping is bad. No, prepping is good. Do what you can do. And then when you've done all that you can do, you trust God to do what you cannot do. But I will tell you that we're going to have to, in the days ahead, the years ahead, We're going to have to be praying for those miracles like Jesus did, multiplying the loaves and the fishes and the flour with Elijah and Elisha. We're going to have to just actually believe that God will provide. And I'll read something in a minute. We'll go to Psalm 33 in just a second. But I just want you to understand that these things are coming, and they're coming faster than really we anticipated. You think about last year, just with the farming industry, Kevin's been telling me how everything was cheaper. I mean, it was 50% cheaper. I mean, we've had just huge changes. I mean, I went to the grocery store the other week. We were going to buy some ribeye steaks at Sam's. I normally paid about $30 to $32 for three ribeye steaks. It was up over, it was almost $50. And if you got the really good ones, it was $75 or something like that for three. I'm like, wow, what is going on, man? It's getting ridiculous. But this black horse, and what Kevin was telling me, too, was the fertilizer problem is really going to hit the grains the hardest. Barley, wheat. Bible is very specific. I wonder how the Apostle John knew what was going to be happening 2,000 years later, right? Very serious. I'm going to skip ahead here. And the green horse. And this is, of course, I've talked about this a lot over the last 10 years or so. I've been talking about this a lot. But he says, when he opened the fourth seal, I heard the voice of the fourth beast say, come and see. And I looked, and behold, a pale horse. And his name that sat there on him was Death, and hell followed with him. And power was given unto them over the fourth part of the earth to kill with the sword, with hunger. How's that? With hunger. And with death, and with the beast of the earth. Now, I do believe that the green horse is Islam. But here's the Greek word, chloros. It means green. It's not pale. And, of course, the color of Islam is green. And it was allegedly Muhammad's favorite color, which is why they are into green. But this is pretty well established fact here. The Sufi coffins, their bandanas, their mosque, the flag of Saudi Arabia, where Mecca is, a sword, and green. Now, why is this significant? Well, Islam, when it's doing what Muhammad told them to do, it tries to wipe out Christians and Jews. That's just the way it is. That's what Muhammad did. And in fact, the Quran says that they're supposed to follow the example of Muhammad because he was the model man to follow, even though he married a six-year-old and consummated that marriage at when she was nine. And even though he was a warlord that basically wanted to kill every Christian and Jew he could get his hands on. So Islam that doesn't do that is not really following Muhammad. But the ones that really follow Muhammad, they do go after Christians. Death follows them. This is what we saw at the rise of ISIS, 2013, 2014, 2015. We saw them, once they get in power, it's annihilate. Christianity, Christians, hang, shoot, cut off heads. This is just the reality. People say, oh, you're picking on Muslims. No, I know not all Muslims are like this. But again, the Muslims that follow Muhammad's example do this. That's why do you think they're able to recruit so many Muslims? It's basically the opposite of Christianity. Christianity, we know we got lukewarm, backslidden Christians, and then you have Christians say, hey, we got to really follow Jesus, follow the Word, follow Him with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength, be His disciple, live after His example. Well, they do the same thing. That's how they preach this. Except they preach it, Muhammad's the one we need to follow and the one we need to do like he did. And so it's very interesting because what's the next seal after this? And I don't know if it's in this slide, I don't remember. Of course, Islam is one quarter of the earth right now, which is exactly what the scripture says right there. They'd have power over one quarter of the earth. and one quarter of the earth right now is Muslim. But let's go turn to, and I don't know if it's in here, but so we're going to just turn to it. Again, that was an old thing. I just wanted to show some stuff. But I want you to go to Revelation 6 if you're not there. I'm going to turn there and read this because I want to read the fifth seal and the sixth. Yes, he did. Trump came in and ISIS got real quiet. Of course, now we see how a Democrat rules with Biden and just give over billions and billions and billions of dollars of our weapons and helicopters and armor to radical Islam, to Taliban. It's unreal. I don't know how anybody in America could vote for a Democrat anymore. I don't understand it. They are traitors to our country. Every time they get in, all of a sudden, ISIS rises, Islam rises. And don't get me wrong, the Bush family were just as evil. The Clintons, we've had some really bad, really bad leaders. But look at this. When it says here in Revelation 6:9, and when he had opened the fifth seal, I saw under the altar the souls of them that were slain for the word of God and for the testimony which they held. And they cried with a loud voice, saying, how long, O Lord, holy and true, dost thou not judge and avenge our blood on them that dwell on the earth? Now, I've pointed this out to you before. You may remember, you may have forgotten. But notice that these martyrs are crying out for God to avenge their blood on people who were still alive on the earth. This is not talking about ancient martyrs here. And see, that wave of martyrdom that happened in 2013, 2014, 2015, the Arab Spring, I believe the martyrs that are crying out are the ones that died in that time of martyrdom. And they're crying out right now because some of their murderers are still alive on the earth right now. And he says, hold on, right? The Lord answers them. Let's keep going. And white robes were given unto every one of them, and it was said unto them that they should rest yet for just a little season, until their fellow servants also and their brethren that should be killed as they were should be fulfilled. Rest for a little while, just a little season, 2013, 2014, 2015. There's going to be a little season, and then there's going to be a lot more Christians killed for their faith. Now, we're not just quite there yet, but let me tell you, the plans are there. Now let's go to the sixth seal and read that. See, the seals tell one story of the end times, and it ends with the second coming of Jesus. Because he said, I beheld when he had opened the sixth seal, and lo, there was a great earthquake, and the sun became black as sackcloth of hair, and the moon became as blood, and the stars of heaven fell into the earth, even as a fig tree casteth her untimely figs when she is shaken of a mighty wind. And the heaven departed as a scroll when it is rolled together, and every mountain and every island were moved out of their places. It says, and the kings of the earth and the great men and the rich men and the chief captains and the mighty men and every bondman and every free man hid themselves in the dens and in the rocks of the mountains and said to the mountains and rocks, fall on us and hide us from the face of him that sitteth on the throne and from the wrath of the Lamb. The sixth seal is the second coming. You know, we've had bad teaching in the church world, because we've been taught, oh, the six seals are going to be, the seven seals are open, and then the seven trumpets, and then the seven vials, and that's never the way it's supposed to have been. They overlap one another. This is one story, but the sixth seal is the second coming. You say, why is it the seventh? Because the seventh is just a moment, it's 30 minutes of silence, because people are in awe of what's happening. But let's go to Matthew 24. I want to read this, Matthew 24. Go down to verse 29. These seals coincide with Matthew 24, but I want to show you there's not multiple times in this end time scenario that the sun goes dark, the moon does not give off its light, every mountain and every island's moved. It only happens once, okay? So everybody say with me, that's the end. That's the second coming of Jesus. Yeah. Let me show you something. Matthew 24, I started teaching this preaching this in 1989, when God finally opened my eyes to the truth about the timing of the rapture and the end of the age. And it's all here, crystal clear. But because we were indoctrinated by churches and TV preachers and even seminaries and Bible schools, we didn't see it. But Matthew 24, I'm just going to go through it kind of quick, and then we're going to read this. But Matthew 24, they ask him, the disciples, like, what will be the sign of your coming, the end of the age? He said, first thing he said, take heed no man deceive you. Many will come in my name, saying, I am Christ, I'm anointed, I'm with Christ, whatever, or I am literally Christ. Some people say that. They will say, I am Christ, and deceive many. Then he says, he goes on to say, these are the beginning of sorrows. You'll hear wars, rumors of wars, famines, pestilences, plagues, viruses. He said, you'll hear of these things, but the end is not yet. He says, then they will take you up. You'll be hated of all men. He said, you will be taken up, you will be afflicted, and they will kill you. And you will be hated of all nations for my name's sake. Do you notice how it coincides? Take heed no man deceive you. White horse, conquering the world, new world order, peace, peace, they'll say when there is no peace. The deception of the UN and the whole kumbaya, let's all be one global citizen, right? That's a lie. If you say Jesus Christ is God, the way, the truth, and the life, and the only way, you are not going out. What's that? Okay. That was weird. All right. So where was I? You're not in the club. Right. Not a club that I want to be in anyway, right? But that club is taking over. World Health Organization is part of that. Anything that beast, United Nations, wants to do. And how many of you know the Bible talked about that the world government beast would have 7 heads and 10 horns? It's already there. United Nations, this is how their leadership's made up. The 5 on the Security Council. They added in Germany. It's called the P5+1. That's 6. When they got a critical thing to deal with, they bring in the head of the European Union. Guess what? That's 7. Guess what under them is? Always a rotating group of 10 leaders across the world. That's the Security Council. 7 heads, 10 horns. The Bible's very specific. But he said, don't be deceived by these people. They're going to hate you. But if you go through the book, remember, Jesus said these are the beginning of sorrows in Matthew 24, meaning here's how it begins, here's how it unfolds. Folks, get this down in your head. Matthew 24 is a chronological, sequential outline of the end time events given by Jesus himself. So nobody gets to override what Jesus said about how it's going to happen, right? Verse 15 talks about the Antichrist. Talks about the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet standing in the holy place, letting you know, yes, there's going to be a temple on the mountain, the Temple Mount. They're already talking about it. This week I saw articles. The Jews are going to be allowed to pray on the Temple Mount. Muslim clerics are even saying, oh, the Jews are going to be allowed to have a little house of prayer up there on the Temple Mount. Oh, it's coming, y'all. Just like the Bible said it was. And it's literal. It's not figurative. It's literal. But he goes through this list, Jesus did, of what will be the signs of your coming, the end of the age. And he gets down to verse 29. And you're going to hear exactly what we heard in the sixth seal. Look at this. In verse 29, he says, everybody say this with me. Immediately after. Immediately after. Wait a minute. I thought it was before. Hold on now. No, this says after. Everybody say after, after, after. Immediately after the tribulation of those days, the end time, the sun will be darkened, the moon shall not give her light, the stars shall fall from heaven. Does that sound like what we just read? Where did we just read that? Sixth seal. Heaven is open. Everybody sees Jesus. Hide us from the wrath of the Lamb. The stars shall fall. The powers of heaven shall be shaken. He's talking about the firmament opening up. And then he says this. And then, which means after this, shall appear the sign of the Son of Man in heaven. And then shall all the tribes of the earth mourn, and they shall see the Son of Man coming in the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. And guess what? And then, and he shall send forth his angels with a great sound of a trumpet, and they shall gather his elect from the four winds, from one end of heaven to the other. That is what is called the rapture. When does it happen? According to Jesus, after. It is the last day. It is at the second coming. This is what your Bible says. I don't care what your former preacher said, or your seminary teacher, or your Bible teacher, or some preacher on TV. This is what Jesus taught. Why am I bringing this up? Because you're not going anywhere before this stuff happens. Which is also the reason I have heard Christians say, I mean, they, you know, thank God, you know, the good thing of YouTube terminating my YouTube channel is I don't have to hear stupid comments anymore from YouTube, right? That's been the blessing, because I used to get hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of comments all the time, and I would hear people say this stuff. I'd say, look, you're not going anywhere. We're here through the whole thing. It's always been a lie to say to people, you're getting out of here. And there are Christians right now saying, oh, this can't be the mark of the beast coming, because we're still here. This can't be. They're being deceived because they think we're out of here before this stuff happens. And we're not going anywhere. We're here through the whole thing. John 6, and I've taught this many times. If you go to John 6, several times, I think it's three or four times at least, Jesus said about the righteous, he would raise him up, and these are the words, at the last day. Paul said, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall be changed in the moment, the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump. When's the last trumpet? Here it is. After the tribulation of those days, not before. We have been lied to by these mega church weak preachers for now decades, especially in America. And America, this is why America is still, American Christianity is still asleep. Because they're not even recognizing what is going on around them. Now think about this right here. This is where we're not going anywhere, so we're going through this. So what do? Do we just sit back and do nothing? Or do we prepare? I promise you this, I'm going to be resisting the beast system and the beast and everything that they try to do to us until they either kill me or I make it to the end on that last day and I'm taken up. Either way, I'm not bowing the knee. I'm not submitting to the system. I'll tell you what else is about to happen. The coronavirus vaccine mandates and soon coming the implanted proof that you are vaccinated mandate will be coming. And when that hits us, the worldwide mandate of you being vaccinated and having proof of that vaccination in your hand or forehead, that is the mark of the beast. Because it says no man might buy or sell unless he has this. When they do that, we're not quite there yet. But when they do it, that is the mark of the beast. And it is creeping up upon us. Already, guess what? Australia, you're not going to the store. You're not buying anything. You're not doing anything unless you're vaccinated and can prove it. Germany, Israel has become a police state over this issue. They're going to try to do it here. Right now in Alabama, people are losing their jobs because they won't get this vaccine. And we're about to have a really big, nasty time because federal deadline is December 8th. Don't you love how they put it right before Christmas time? No, this none of this is by accident. And that's why I know they're going to come out with something else to push us toward accepting mandatory vaccination and identification so you can be tracked. Everything you can do can be tracked. I believe they already can do it. Facial recognition, everything else. But they are going to. The Bible made it very clear, and let's put that up. He said that he's going to cause all, small, great, rich, and poor, to receive a mark in their right hand or forehead. We know now these chips can be implanted anywhere in your body. DARPA already, I shared this years ago, DARPA already had chips they said they could put in a soldier's brain that would help him overcome PTSD. Now, wait a minute. If you put something in my brain that's helping me overcome emotional trauma from war, what else can you do to my brain? And all this stuff exists. And we sit back here going, la, 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 la. All things will continue as they were. I saw a preacher that I know. His marital, this is how bad we are. This is how bad it is right now. This is how lost that church world is out there for the most part. Not all, but for the most part. He said, here's the number one marital advice you can give. Okay, now I've been a minister for 34 years, going on 35 years. I've counseled a lot of married couples. I've done a lot of premarital counseling before I married people. I would never put this at the top of the list. You know, I put stuff like, if you're going to be able to have a long and enduring marriage, number one, you need to love each other, but part of loving each other is choosing to say, sometimes you have to say, I was wrong, I'm sorry, forgive me, and the other person has to forgive you. And that's the way it is. That's the only way marriages survive. Right? Is love and forgiveness. And if you got two people that'll never say I was wrong, that's a divorce about to happen. Yeah. And if you only have one in a marriage saying I'm willing to say I was wrong, then you're going to have serious trouble for a long time and probably end up divorced. But if you have humility that says, hey, when you're wrong, you say I'm wrong and you say I'm sorry, that would be my advice, right? Put Jesus first, right? Love Jesus and love each other, forgive one another, right? Now, this pastor's number one marital advice was marry a tither. To people not married, make sure you marry a tither. Now, if you ask me, what do I need to look at in a potential spouse? You say, you better know that they love Jesus. I know a lot of tithers that are not even born again. But the American church is so about money and the love of money, which is the root of all evil, and it has blinded them to what is soon going to be upon them and all of their members. Because they don't talk about these things, because their mind is, we need more money, more money, more money, more tithers, more tithers, more tithers. Yeah, sounds like, exactly, sounds like the government, Kevin said. Yes, we need more of your money. We need more, 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 so we can build bigger buildings and waste more of your money on these church country clubs. And I just sit back and go, there, because of this, there is a spiritual blindness on many Christians in America and in the West, and they don't even see what is upon them. Just like most people, remember in the days of Noah, remember Jesus said it in the last days would be like the days of Noah. Well, everybody was just going about their business. Who's the crazy preacher talking about rain? What is rain? What is rain? What is he talking about water falling from the sky? We've never seen water fall from the sky. He's crazy. He's a conspiracy theory. He's a lunatic. And I imagine them sitting around laughing when they got in the boat with all the animals. And shut the doors and the windows. Look at those crazy fools over there. And all of a sudden they get hit in the head with a drop of water. It's too late then. Can you imagine the last hill? Conversations that were being had on that hill as the water rose. You better prepare. We're going to have foreign armies, UN troops. We're going to have people betraying us from local government officials on up to the national level. There will be food shortages. They're right now crashing the dollar with hyperinflation. And they have to, because they're going to go to a digital currency. And most Americans don't even know, the day that the U.S. dollar ceases to be the world reserve currency is the day we become a poor nation. It's the day like in Germany way back when they were rolling barrels of their cash money to go buy a loaf of bread. That's what inflation is. That's why, lumber's gone up. You know, we did an addition to our house. I basically repaired the back porch that was falling off and just made it into a room. We did it just in time. Right before Biden went in and they started printing money like drunk sailors. But everything doubled and tripled right after that. I mean, goodness gracious. Nice sheet of plywood now. You got to go pawn your wedding ring. It's insane. And it's by design. It is. The Great Reset. You know what's funny? Is the press, the media, and our politicians. You talk about Klaus Schwab and the Great Reset. And it's all, listen to those nuts. That's a conspiracy theory. They're crazy. The man wrote an entire book called The Great Reset. And I was just reading. I have it in my phone. I was just reading how they're going to end the American dollar is the world reserve currency. I'm reading this in the book called The Great Reset by Klaus Schwab. But somehow, if we dare talk about it, we're conspiracy theorists. No. It's conspiracy fact. When the wealthiest and most powerful people of the world get together at the World Economic Forum, the Bilderberg Group, all these different groups, when they get together and actually plan things and then they do them, that is called conspiring. And when they tell you they're doing it, it's no longer a theory. And yet we're demonized when we talk about it. You know why? Because they don't want it exposed. They don't want people waking up. They want people sleepwalking right into the New World Order. They want you sleepwalking right into this famine with no faith in God, so you will take their mark, so you can get their universal income and become dependent upon the world government. That is the plan. Y'all know this. This whole thing in America, this whole welfare system to get people dependent on the government, they're going to do it on a worldwide level. And people who look to the government to be their God will find out that they're walking with Satan. I would rather starve to death and die than ever bow my knee to Satan and his kingdom for a morsel of bread. I'm not going to do it. I'm not going to do it. But people are going to sell their souls forever to survive, to get groceries. You better start learning how to grow some food. And I saw somebody the other pine cones. Oh, we got some characters in here, don't we? Pine cones. You better boil those things real good. Y'all are crazy. Well, we better get ready. And you know, we're going to have to plant gardens. You know, somebody said the other day, I don't know if I saw a meme or somebody said it on Facebook or somewhere, but you know, growing lawns has been one of the biggest scams in American history. Should have been learning to grow food in your yard, not grass. You hear me? Because, I mean, unless you're keeping goats or cattle, you don't really need grass, do you? We need food. And that's going to be an issue in the days ahead. Food and ammo. Let me tell you something. I'm ready to plant food, and I'm ready to hunt. Whatever's necessary. I'm also ready to resist blue helmets that come down the road toward my house. They best not come down in here in Alabama is all I got to say. Most of us can shoot long distances, little deer. So, deer meat's wonderful. Squirrels, rabbits, turkeys, we got them everywhere. As the South is blessed. Y'all up there in those blue states up in the North, y'all in trouble. It's time to move south. Just don't vote blue anymore. Yeah. And look, I'm not trying to put fear in you, just reality. And it's also the time, too. It's not a time to drift from the Lord. It's not a time to let sin or temptation pull you away. It's not a time to stop praying, studying the Word, or fighting in the Spirit. Listen, we're under, there's so much spiritual warfare going on around all of this. And there's more and more people that are turning to the dark side. They're becoming witches and Satanists and enemies. And we literally have to break their curses and break their words and their spells off of us. Folks, I get attacked. Me and my family get attacked spiritually like you wouldn't believe. And if we didn't know how to bind the devil and bind demons and break curses and resist the enemy in Jesus' name, we wouldn't be here. We wouldn't have made it this far. So this is not a time to fall away, to slip away, or even to fall away from prayer and spiritual warfare in your life. It's just not a time because it's just going to increase. And one more thing before I close this morning, and I, you know, this is going to be a short message, is don't think that going through trials and tribulation and persecution is somehow strange or not normal. Peter said, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you, as though some strange thing happened to you. There are people right now, I know Christians, losing their jobs. Don't know how, you know, they've got a certain amount of income and a certain amount of bills. And the income goes away and the bills are still there. What do you do? You trust God. Now you say, well, what happens if my car gets repoed? You know what? Maybe you didn't need that car. Maybe it's time to walk a little bit. Be humble. You say, well, why didn't God stop it? Why didn't God give me the money to keep my car? Well, maybe you're going to have to go through something. This is what I'm talking about. We're going to have to go through things. God didn't say he would deliver us from persecution or tribulation. In fact, Jesus said, in this world you will have tribulation. That means trouble, pressure, affliction, persecution. You will have it, but be of good cheer. What? Bucko can do that. The rest of us can't, but be of good cheer. Bucko's got the joy. We all got to get the joy in tribulation. Because I just want to tell you, unless you go to be with Jesus here real soon, you will be in tribulation. And there's going to be evil people making it worse. And you've just got to be willing and ready to stand, to resist, and to not let any trouble or affliction or persecution that you go through make you waver. Look, you know, Project Veritas came out with a video where they busted Johnson & Johnson and Pfizer. And what was so sad was the first one, when the nurse whistleblower talked about her coworker who had religious, you know, objections to the vaccine, because we know they're made with aborted fetal cells and all that stuff, not to mention it does mess with your DNA, not to mention it is changing your blood, not to mention it's doing all these things to you. But this nurse didn't want to take it, but she was pressured by that hospital to take it, and she caved to the pressure, and she's dead now. She died right there in that hospital in front of her coworkers. And they're not telling you how many people are dying right after they take the vaccine. The stats are a lie. It's 100 times more. People are dying within 2 weeks of getting this vaccine, and they're hiding it. And now they're saying, oh, you got to take it. And I, look, in my lifetime, I have never seen the government, the media, push something so hard. Even when they know children are not even at danger. And they're trying now to push this on children, this vaccine. And there's no long-term studies to know what in the world it's going to do. Who would push this on children? And why? It's so important that you got to have it. Oh, there's some sinister stuff going on here. I wouldn't eat a bowl of ice cream if Bill Gates shoved it over to me. He wouldn't get to babysit my dog. Not any of them. He'd probably start trying to do experiments on them. But who funds the World Health Organization? Mr. Gates. Who sets the agenda for the World Health Organization? Mr. Gates. Laughing about, oh, yes, there'll be side effects and bad things. Ha, 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 ha. And people go, oh, he's wonderful. No. Folks better wake up, because there's evil people doing evil stuff. But it's all designed, and you need to understand this, this whole system is designed to get you and me to submit to it. It's that statue Nebuchadnezzar made, the big statue. Just bow. Just bow and everything will be fine. But if you don't bow, you're going to be thrown in the fiery furnace. Well, what was that? What does that represent? Fiery trials. You don't submit, your life's going to start to be difficult. And that's what they want to do. They want to try to make your life difficult so you'll bow. And it's not just with that. It's about what they want to do with our kids in school, the mask, with the perverted mess they want to teach our little kids in school. No, it's all about submit. Let us indoctrinate you, and you submit to this system, because that's all the devil wants you. He wants you. And now is the time. We've gotten to a point now where we can submit no longer to anything they do. That's why I told, you know, we're at the point now, I won't be setting foot inside a hospital. I mean, my arm would have to fall off, and maybe I go. I don't know. Let me sew it back on. Yeah. You know, they're killing people. You know, I mean, some of you probably already heard about Rob Skiba. And even though he and I were not on the same page doctrinally in serious matters, and it broke my heart hearing about him dying. And I met him and his wife in 2017. Rob and I talked on the phone several times for several hours. But how did he die? He got corona, and I don't know how he didn't know to not go to the hospital. And he goes to the hospital. and they put him on remdesivir, and then they put him on a ventilator, and now he's dead. He's 2 years younger than me. But this would have happened to me in August when I had coronavirus so bad. Any doctor that didn't know the truth, like the doctor I had, would have put me, say, go to the hospital. You know, your oxygen level is 82. You can't breathe. You've had fever for, actually, it was more than 8 days. It was like 9 days. And had I went to the hospital, I wouldn't be here today. They would have killed me. And I'm just sitting back going, folks, you understand the system is not for you. Now, there's still some good people in the system. There's still a few good doctors, and there's still some good nurses that are telling the truth about what's going on. But if you go to the hospital, and look, some people think, well, I'm vaccinated, I won't get coronavirus. Oh, yes, you can. If you do, do not go to the hospital. Find you a doctor that will get you ivermectin, hydroxychloroquine, give you whatever you need, but don't go to the hospital. Because they will make sure, first of all, your family doesn't see you anymore. And then they put you in a coma and put you on a ventilator. One of these nurses that blew the whistle said that she saw everybody that came into her COVID floor that went on a vent died, except one guy. Because he had been a drug addict, and the drugs they put him on, he had a high tolerance, so he woke up and pulled his ventilator, he pulled the tube out himself and lived. He would have died like the rest of them. But see, I'm telling you, that's the beast system. They don't even care anymore. Sheila Skiba said they mocked Rob and his faith as they let him die. This is the system. The system, and especially if you're a Christian, they don't care. And especially now, you know, if you don't take the holy vaccine, they're like, shun the non-believer. Y'all remember Charlie the Unicorn, right? Shun the non-believer. Shun the non-vaccinated. They're not worthy of health care. They're not worthy of save their lives. Doctors have said this. Nurses have said this. So there's very bad ones, and there's good ones. The good ones are coming out telling the truth. We say, well, how is all this connected? Because, folks, it's all connected. The beast system is here. Soon the man will rise up over it to lead the whole thing. But remember, the beast system comes first. Remember the ten-horned beast? And then the little horn comes up. He's after the fact. He's only for the last 3.5 years. There are people right now saying, oh, we're not there yet because the Antichrist is not here. Oh, no, he's here. He just doesn't step into power and is visible until we're about halfway through the last 7 years. And there's people out there saying, oh, the Antichrist is not a man, yet the Bible says he's the man of sin. The Bible talks about his body will be given to the flame when Jesus comes. He is a man. The beast system he will rule over, but not yet. The beast system had to be created. It had to evolve. It had to grow. It had to mature. Well, it's here now. He will soon rise up as that 11th horn who will speak great things against the Most High and blaspheme. There will be a literal man that is the Antichrist. He's coming. Jesus will kill him, physically kill him when he arrives and put him in hell. That is what's going to happen. The beast and the false prophet, Jesus will kill and put them in hell. Jesus is returning not like a little baby in a manger. He's coming back on a white horse with a sword coming out of his mouth, and his garments are going to be splattered with the blood of his enemies and the wicked. It's going to be a lot different. So these wicked people that are doing this, that are killing people with their, whether it be with their drugs or their lies or their deception or the wars they're going to start, Jesus is coming back to deal with. See, and I believe we should do everything we can possibly do, but I don't believe in the whole kingdom now dominion theology that says, oh, the church is going to rise up and become powerful enough to take over the world. And we're going to make the world this utopia and hand it over to Jesus when he comes. No, Jesus come back and he's going to destroy the kingdoms of this world and the wicked and the murderers and all this stuff. He's going to deal with that. So let's stand this morning. And let's do the even so come again before we go. But the Bible is very specific. End time prophecy is a specific thing. And now there's going to be even more in the days ahead that's going to be finally understood that we didn't understand. Because it is upon us. And everything written in the scriptures will happen. If they hadn't happened yet, you want to talk about the smart money in Vegas, we'll be on it happening. Because when you have hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of prophecies that have been fulfilled, and you're stupid enough to think that the rest of them won't be fulfilled, something has gone wrong up here. They will happen. And what you got to do is just make sure you're abiding in the vine. Jesus is the vine, and we are the branches. And you abide in the vine, and you prepare, and you do what he leads you to do. And the only way you can know that is to be close enough to him to hear his voice and be led by the Spirit. And you have to do that in these days. Because you say, well, Pastor Dean, you're talking about we got to do this to save our lives. Well, nobody should want to die before their time. Why is that? Paul said this. He said, you know, to depart and be with Jesus is far better. He said, but to remain here in the flesh is needful for you. And what he was talking about is, I have a job. I've got people I've got to reach, that I've got to help, that I've got to lead to Jesus, that I've got to help them get free. I have a mission. Every one of us has a mission from God that we must accomplish, and the devil would love to take us out before it's time. So we don't long for death. We long to do our mission. That's why Paul said that he said, you know, I have finished my course. At the end of your life, whether it's by martyrdom or Jesus coming, will you be able to say, I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. I did what God called me to do, anointed me to do. Will you have regrets, or will you go, Lord, I did everything that you told me to do? That's what you want to do, because that's what helps other people. Wake them up and save them. Look, some of you don't realize it. You may not have had a lot of fruit in your life, and you're discouraged by that. You're going to have it. You hear me? You're going to have it. If you stay faithful to the Lord to the end, you are going to see fruit from that. Don't be discouraged. Now, we're going to do this song, this one song. We sang it a minute ago, but we're going to sing it again. And then we'll pray and be dismissed. But let's worship the Lord, because he is going to come again. But now we know when. We know how. There's no pre-tribulation secret rapture 7 years before the last trumpet. No, it's at the last trumpet, which means, in the Greek, last. Not 7 years before, and then there's more trumpets sounding. No, last. Last day after the tribulation. And we know some of us are going to make it through that, because he said, if none of the church made it, who would be left to be taken up on the last day alive? So some of us are going to make it through. So somebody say, praise God. I might make it through. Praise God. I might not make it through. Either way is okay, right? If you're ready. All right, let's do this.
Coming soon. Jesus, come.
Make that our prayer today, Lord. We will wait for you, and that means, Lord, we wait on you. We are ready to serve and do whatever you need us to do until you come again. And we know, Lord God, that you have great things for us to do, and there are going to be great victories, Lord. We will see many turn to righteousness, Lord. It's not just about the falling away, Lord. Many will turn to righteousness. And, Lord, we thank you for those souls that will be saved and lives that will be changed and prodigals that will come home. We thank you for that in Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah. Well, everybody just praise the Lord. He's good. And also, just so you know, everybody, same thing we do every Sunday now. Go get you something to eat, come back, we'll eat downstairs. Everybody's welcome to stay if you can. I know some of you can't, it's all right. But that's what we do now. And our rule here is hug some necks before you leave because we're not afraid of the Rona. All right, God bless y'all.